Psalms 32, and as I checked it, I was citing that I might want to go with a version that some of you may or may not be familiar with. It's called the New Century Version. For those who are not familiar with that, it's kind of a cross between the NIV and the Message, a little bit of plain English. And if you're not familiar with the NIV and the Message, it's one of those weird-sounding new versions that don't sound like King James. But I'm going to read from the New Century, and this chapter of Psalms was written by David, and it was written directly after he was confronted by Nathan the prophet about his sin with Bathsheba. And for those of you that are familiar with that story, David saw Bathsheba, lusted after her, asked her to come up to the palace while her husband was up at war. They dilly-dallied around and ended up with her being pregnant. And he then had to have her husband killed because it just was going to get out. Now, David was considered a man after God's own heart. This story preceding this psalm does not sound much like a man after God's own heart. It sounds a lot like a man who's messed up. And I guess that's why I like this psalm. Because it does speak to the average guy. Sometimes when I hear stories about David, I think of somebody that is a whole lot smarter, a whole lot better, just a whole lot nicer person than I am. After reading this story about David, I could say, no, he's a human being, and he's as capable of making mistakes as I am. And so I want to read to you, and I see, this is the New Century Version, so it may sound a little different than your version, but if you want to follow along, go ahead. Happy is the person whose sins are forgiven, whose wrongs are pardoned. Happy is the person whom the Lord does not consider guilty, and in whom there is nothing false. When I kept things to myself, I felt weak deep inside. I moaned all day long. Day and night you punished me. My strength was gone as to the summer's heat. Selah. Then I confessed my sins and didn't hide my guilt. I said, I will confess my sins to the Lord, and you forgave my guilt. Selah. For this reason, all who obey you should pray to you, and while they still can, when troubles rise like a flood, they will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You protect me from my troubles. You fill me with songs of salvation, Selah. The Lord says, I will make you wise and show you where to go. I will guide you and watch over you. So don't be like a horse or a donkey that does not understand. They must be led with bits and reins, or they will not come near you. Wicked people have many troubles, but the Lord surrounds those who trust him. Good people rejoice and be happy in the Lord. Sing, all whose hearts are right. David starts out by talking about a pretty miserable condition. I love the fact that he says, my bones were wasting away. That gives you a mental picture of someone that is in deep anguish. And I suspect that most of you have been there before. You've had a time in your life when you were not following God, when you were miserable, where what you were doing was keeping you away from God, keeping you away from doing what was right, and honestly, you were, as David, miserable. I identify with this. I don't know if Isaac remembers this, but back when he was in homeschool, one of his projects was to ask me what my favorite chapter of the Bible was, and I referred to this chapter, and I doubt Isaac could remember my answer, and I'm not sure I can remember my answers, but what I love about this is it's a real man talking to a real God, and the truth of the matter is, that's what it is about all of us. You know, if I come up here and tell you that, gee whiz, I'm a really nice guy, and I do all sorts of nice things, and I'm supposed to be this great person, I'd be a liar. Now, I'd like to think that I'm trying to be a good person. I'd like to think that I'm trying to be better than I was. But the truth of the matter is, I'm a human being, and as a human being, I have what's called a sin nature within me. And I will fall flat on my face. I've done it before. I'll do it again. I'm not happy about it, but when I do it, the question is, what do I do about it? David was in that position. He was flat on his face. He had done everything wrong. when he was confronted with the fact that something was going to prove evidence to his wrong, he doubled his wrong by killing an innocent man. This man did everything possibly wrong that he could do, and then realized the one thing he could do about this mistake was turn it over to God. I don't know how many of you want to clean up messes in your life. I've got an office that could be used clean up, and it could take a couple days to clean up my office, I suspect. But the truth of the matter is, there's something in your life and in my life that could use straightening out. We're all there. And the question is, how am I going to do it? I know my office has been there for quite a while. It kind of gets deeper and deeper. And I do make days where I try to get cleaning and I start to work on it. And I clean off portions of the desk and I do this. And I make inroads, but it never seems to become done. And I think that's a lot like life. Because in life, while I work on one area of my life, I'll find out there's another area that I'm not paying attention to. And when I'm not paying attention, Satan will sneak in there and say, "Hey, guess what, Rick? You just fell flat on your face again." It's hard. It's really hard to admit that I don't have everything right. And I think for most of us, it's hard. We want to have it together enough, if not to be perfect, at least to be better than the folks in the next pew. You know, you don't want to be that bad. And I think, whether we admit it or not, we go through that a lot. Well, I could do better at this, I could do better at that, but at least I don't go and do what so-and-so does after church. Or I'm better than they are. Look at what I did. And you know what? It doesn't work. That rationalization, that trying to make something right before God, doesn't work. David says his soul felt empty when he was silent before God. Only when he turned his heart to God and confessed and put himself at God's mercy did he notice something change. And did you notice how through this chapter, that chapter changes in its tone? I mean, when you start out, it's a depressing chapter. It says, you know, it just literally wasting away. Things are bad. Things are really terrible. Day and night, you punished me. My strength was gone. But then I confessed my sins, and you forgave my guilt. And then things got better. You protect me from my troubles. You fill me with songs of salvation. You will make me wise and show me where to go. Does that sound like a man that's down and out? Does that sound like a man who's really just blown it, the biggest mistake he's ever made in his life? I don't think I can transition quite as quickly as David did. But then I think perhaps David understood something I don't understand yet. And that is, it's not up to me to make myself a better person. It's not up to you to make yourself a better person. It's up to me to come before God, confess where I'm lacking, confess where I failed, and say, "Lord, forgive me. And do with me as you will do with me." Where David shined was the fact that David was willing to say, "I'm the king of Israel, but I serve God. I am his servant. I'm his slave. God tells me what to do and when to do it and how to do it." And if you look at David's life, David did very little without consulting God first. In fact, the only times he did that or didn't do that, he ended up in trouble. And David, several times in his life, ended up in trouble, which gives me some confidence in the fact that even though I continue to mess up in my life, God is willing to be patient. He was patient with David. He's patient with me. He's patient with you. We have to be willing to put our lives in the hands of God. We have to be willing to lace ourselves in a point of saying, I have messed up. I am wrong. I have done wrong. And now that I realize what I've done wrong, God, I want you to change that in me. I want you to help me be a different person than I am. The truth of the matter is, David was not a great man. He was a boy when God called him. His brothers didn't think very highly of him. He was the youngest of all the brothers. He was only fit to do the sheep work, which, by the way, in that culture, was pretty low. You only did the servants, and the lowest in the family did the sheep work. So David was not one of high esteem. And David was taken from that position to king of Israel. And then if that wasn't high enough, David was taken to a point where God referred to him as a man after my own heart. It was not David's sin that placed him in that position. It was David's repentance. And Psalm 32 is so wonderful in the sense that I know I will make mistakes. I know I will do things wrong. But I know that if I bring them before my God, He will forgive me. He will heal me. And He will put me back on my feet. And if I'm willing, He will make something out of me that I could never do, that I could never be. So my challenge to you this morning is, as you look at your life, are you where you want to be? Are you who you want to be? Are there areas in your life that you'd like to change? I think for every one of us, the answer is yes. I think there are things I'd like to see changed. There are things I could do better. It's not up for me to tell you what those things are. You know, some folks say, well, go in there and the guy up front will tell you what you did wrong. No, that's not the position of the guy up front or the gal up front. My position is to challenge you to go into that scripture, to learn that scripture, and hear what God is saying to you today. What God said to David some 3,000 years ago was, you did mess up. You need to confess it. You need to get right with me. And you need to put yourself back into my hands so I can mold you into the man you need to become. And if you see what happened in David's life after this, he did indeed do exactly that. He became a man. He's a man so admired that his symbol, the Star of David, is the nation's symbol of Israel today. That man is so revered by the people of Israel, they consider him their father next to Abraham. That's a pretty high praise from a man that just was herding sheep as a boy. The reason he deserves such high praise is not what he did. It's not what he didn't do. It's what he did with God. And what he did with God was summed up in Psalms 32. He turned, he confessed his heart, he brought an open heart to God and says, make me something better. Make me something that I am not. And with that, God answered that prayer and made him something much greater than he was. And my challenge to you this morning is, make that same response to God. Take it to God and say, Lord, where will you have me be tomorrow? Who will you have me be tomorrow? I've known a lot of you for years. And a lot of you will tell me what you're good at and what you're not good at and what you might do. And I know as we do the nominating, we'll say, well, that's just not my gifted area. Or this is, I'm good at this, but I'm not any good at that. And you know, there is something of that to be said. But I think too often we fail to take God into consideration. Where is God taking you today? Where is God calling you today? For me, it's a completely different direction than I've been going in a long time. I've spent 22 years working in a factory. And suddenly God's saying, no, you're going in a different direction now. He may not call you to a totally different direction. He may keep you right where you're at. On the other hand, he may call you somewhere else. He may call you to have a different set of priorities. You may suddenly find out that what was important yesterday is not as important today. What I needed to do yesterday doesn't need to be done today. Suddenly, God's insight is more important than everybody else's. Suddenly, God knows more about where I should be thinking and where I should be going than everybody I know does. When I start to become that kind of person, when I start to look into that scripture and say, God, tell me something today, He will do that. And He will do it for you. My encouragement for you today, get to know your God better. Get to know Him personally, up front, and in the language you speak. The one reason I love the New Century and the Message and all these others is because they speak the kind of language you and I talk. Guess what? God speaks the kind of language you and I talk. Some people tell me they don't know how to pray. I'm going, you don't have to do it a certain way. I was taught you prayed this way or you prayed that way and you had to kneel, you had to bow your head. And those are all good ways to do it. I'm not going to knock them. But I'm here to tell you, you can pray to God in any fashion, form, or way that you want to. God will hear that prayer. But the first thing you got to do is say, I'm willing to talk to God. And for some of us, that's a little bit tough. Because you know what? Talking to God, He's pretty important. And He may have a different plan than I have. I really had no desire to start a new career at age 59. I really didn't. I'm thinking retirement was looking at a lot more appealing in a few years. And God's telling me, no, you're not going to be doing any retiring anytime soon. That's not what I wanted to hear. He may tell you something you may not want to hear. He told David something he didn't want to hear. David had a choice, accept it or flee from it. And I'm going to say to you folks, we both have the same way of responding to God. We can accept what God calls us or we can flee from it. To flee from it, review the first part of chapter 32. Because if you're running from God, you're going to feel tired. You're going to feel hunted. You're going to feel like your bones are wasted away. You're going to feel miserable. Just get used to it, because running from God is not a pleasant place to be. So if that's your choice, understand beforehand that that's the way it's going to be. You're not going to be happy people running from God. On the other hand, you can take any mess you can make. And believe me, David made as big a mess as anybody I know. And bring it before God, and God can work you through it and make you a better person afterwards. So if you're here today and wondering, well, God couldn't deal with me because I have really blown it. Guess what? Somebody's blown it bigger than you. You can still be salvaged if you will let God do it. The question is, will you? And that's where I'm going to leave you, that question. Will you let God do what He needs to do in your life? It will make the difference of where you are and how you live your life and how happy you are or how joyous you are. Because David was known for his praise. He danced with praise. We talked about having a Pentecostal service where we jumped and praised God so that we could warm the building up a little faster. You know, we aren't that kind of folks. You know, we're kind of a little bit slow in that way. But I want you to have an attitude where you hear God's name and you say, yes, God, the great I am, the man that I look to when I need to have help. I want you to consider Him as a person, and I do mean person, because Jesus Christ was a person that you can turn to in any time and know He's there for you. And He can bring a change to your life that will literally blow your mind. And you can find a life that will be so fulfilling that nothing else will compare to it. And that, my friends, is where I want to leave you. So bow with me in prayer. Lord, as we depart from here, I just pray that you'll help me first to live up to this chapter, to look to you, to turn to you when I need you. Lord, I ask that you would be with us individually and corporately as a church. Lord, you're doing great things, and it's really neat, as Margaret has shared, what we're hearing down the roads. Lord, I know this is not the end of it, but only the beginning. Make us willing to hear your voice. Make us willing to do your work. Guide us and direct us to do your will. Bless this meeting. Bless these individuals. Guide and be with us and protect us through this coming week. In Jesus' name, amen.